Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Also, will you refer to the bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon? As a matter of fact, today we will have our fellowship luncheon directly following this service. And there will be the usual service at Pacific Hills Manor. Pastor Otero will be preaching at that service and speaking about dealing with difficulties. All other activities this afternoon are canceled. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas again of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 316, Oh, to Be Like Thee.
Thank you.
Will you please rise now as we sing hymn number 394, I Surrender All.
Together. Eternal God, you have called us to be members of one body called the church. God, our King, we pray today that you may rule over us as we meet together, and so fill us with your Spirit, that in faith, hope, and love, we may worship you and proclaim your mighty gospel. God of grace, you have given us minds to know you, hearts to love you, and voices to sing your praise. So fill our choir with the power of your Spirit to sing praises to your wonderful name. God, our Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your Spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today and let the Spirit show us your way. Be with our missionaries, Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, Russia, Carol and Ruth Knotts in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Bernal Modena, Spain, David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, the Motorsport Ministry, and Martha Foretti in Argentina. We are thankful for the testimonies of the fruitful lives in our church, and today we celebrate with thanksgiving the life of Mr. and Mrs. Peretto, as they had already celebrated 50 years in their marriage relationship. Thank you, Lord, for the example that they gave to us. And as you have done Sunday after Sunday, we are thankful for your provision so we can be preaching and teaching here at Morton Hill and the internet and radio and tape ministry and CD ministry. Thank you for your people and for their gift. So bless the offering and bless the giver. And the true love of Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 380, and we will be reading Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have been merciful to us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for the knowledge that no one can pluck us from your hand. We pray for patience and faith in your word to deal with disappointments and know that your cause is righteous and at last will be victorious. We thank you that by your grace, we share in that victory. We pray for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to expose and explain your word, that our faith might increase. We pray for those listening on the radio and tape, CD and internet, who have not yet embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they too may believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and if you have the Bible with you, you can open your Bible to, again, to the wonderful Psalm 119. Just for the control room, I'm going to move the microphone that is in the pulpit, so in that way we are free to talk, and I'm free to walk. Psalm 119. This is the fourth time I'm going to say it, but I'm going to review with you again, see if you remember this psalm. This psalm is made of 22 sections, and each section has precisely 8 verses. Each section starts with the same letter and the proper sequence of the Hebrew alphabet, as you see it in your Bible, designated at the head of each section, and you can see that your Bible will say here the letter cap. The first section that we studied was verses 1 to 8, how to avoid hypocrisy. And remember the lesson, you live by the book. The second section was from verses 9 to 16, how to modify your character. And remember the lesson, internalizing God's word, not just mentalizing God's word, put it in your mind, but internalizing God's word, put it into practice. This first section that we study is section 6 on the psalm, is in verses 41 to 48. They start with the letter vav, which means an. How to handle criticism. And that was last Sunday. How to handle criticism. And remember the lesson the psalm gave us was prepare yourself. Prepare yourself in everything you do to avoid criticism. Now we come to our fourth section, but it's section 11 on the psalm, and it's our brother read verses 81 to 88. It starts with the letter cup, which is your K in the English alphabet, and deals with the issue of discouragement. You hear me? Deal with the issue of discouragement. I can count with my fingers the time I have been discouraged. Kind of gift. That rather than being discouraged, I see things in a positive way. But I, as a pastor for 35 years, I have the pleasure, I will say it with great heart and truthfulness, to listen to people in discouragement and to be able to put a shoulder together and walk out of discouragement. Well, this psalm is very good. But before we look into the psalm, the scripture, if you are discouraged, you are not in awe. You are not awed. The scripture tells us about discouragement. And let me spend, I have designed the service today in such a way that I have a few extra minutes to spend with you and talk to you about this. For example, people say, how come people get discouraged? Well, don't get too smart. Look, negative reports discourage people. Will you move your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28, page 117. If you are using the Bible that is in the pew, it's page 117, the fifth book of Moses in the Hebrew Bible. The fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 1, and verse 28. The Bible used even the word discouragement in a very unique word by using the word makkah, which is a very strong word. Deuteronomy chapter 1 in verse 28. Remember, this is the time of the reports of people. And the Bible said, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. You read it? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and wall up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Amalekites, which means giants, here. God tells the people, go and possess the land. God doesn't say it's clean and without effort. God doesn't say that. God told the people, go and remember, and this is the land that you're going to go. But God never told Israel, there are other people there and you have to clean up the land or you have to stand there. God said, go over there. And the Israelites send spies. They're very good for war. The Israelites send spies. Remember? And they look over and 10 of them come back and look at what they said. The cities are walled, are great and walled. Looks like the media in the United States when we talk about Iraq. They say, yeah, it's a possibility that democracy will be in Iraq. But look at the negative. And they tell you all the negatives, how terrible Bush will be in front of the world. But they don't tell us that Iraq have election today, already passed. It's tomorrow in Iraq. And people are negative. And when you are negative and give a report, you discourage people. This is what the people of God are saying. This is not just regular people. The people of God are saying, our brethren have discouraged us. So they are brothers and sisters that God gave them the gift of discouragement. they come as soon as you hear them, they're trying to discourage you. They will not discourage me because I'm always looking for the way out. The Bible said, together with the trial, God give us the way out. So I don't look for the discouragement. I look for the way out, my friend. And young people, you better do that. You go to school, you want to start working, and you're going to get discouraged. But look for the way out. So people can discourage you. All right? Long journey discourage you. Have you traveled? I think the Dulilos can tell us better than anybody else in this church. If you travel a long time, 6-7 hours with little keys and so on in your car, that really is a hassle. Well, let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, at verse 4, page 103. The word over there that the Bible used in English is discouraged, but it's a different Hebrew word, the word quasar, which means becoming impatient. Becoming impatient. Look at what Numbers 21:4 says. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Remember, they were discouraged to go straight into Canaan, so God gave them 40 years tour. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The word of the way should be translated journey. The people were discouraged because of the journey. 40 years, friend. Not just a trip of 8 hours or 14 hours to Oregon or maybe 16, 18 hours to Washington State. 40 years. Well, when we disobey God, God recovers us, but we lose territory. That's what I learned. So long journey can be a discouragement. Let's take, for example, prayer. So, Pastor, will you pray for this? Yes, I pray. But that doesn't mean you're going to get the answer tomorrow. And if you don't get the answer next year, let's face it. People come to me and I said, have you prayed about it? Say, yes, yeah. Oh, we pray for a long time. You pray for 40 years? No, I just pray for a week. Well, listen, here is 40 years. And the reason is simple. The book of Psalm 90 tells us that one day for the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. God is timeless because he lives above the sun. The sun and the moon are the one who mark the time and the seasons. And God lives above them, so there is no time in heaven. All right? So long journey can discourage you. Now, negative responses discourage you. Look now in the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 21, page 695. And this is good for parents. Actually, the verse is designed for parents. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 21. How careful we should be. Colossians 3:21, I'm reading from the King James Version. Fathers, that include father and mother. Fathers, do not irritate your children or they will be discouraged. And the word discouraged there is the word to lose hope. Pronounce the word in this way, yum. Irritate your children, you yam them. That means they lose hope. You can correct them, but each time you correct them, you show them the way. You show them the way. If you're a coach, you know that's rule number one. You tell one of your boys, or you're doing this wrong, and you have to do it this way. You never tell the wrong and block there. You tell the wrong and the way out of the wrong how to do it right. And you do it 150,000 times with the hope that one day they got it. So negative response discourage children. So I want to talk, this psalm talks about how to master discouragement. Now I want you to see this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I want you to make a little square in this scripture, page 675. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, and that's page 675. I want you to really mark that scripture in a way that when you open your Bible, you find it all the time. Okay, here is what it is. There have no trials, the King James said temptations. It's a strong word for the verb used over there. There have no trials taking you, but such as is common to, the King James said man, but it's mankind, anthropos, mankind. But God is faithful. Did we got it? God is faithful, who will not put you to the test beyond your strength. But with any trial will also provide a way out by enabling you to put up with it. That's my translation. That is my translation. As you look into the original, it is so rich. It's so rich. And I repeat it again. God is faithful. I'm going to take from there. God is faithful, who will not put you to the test beyond your strength. So you can never say, well, I cannot take it anymore. And some of you, my brothers and sisters, are put to the test without you having any cause on it. And my heart really goes after you, that you will not lose hope. Because that's what the scripture says. God will not give you something. God will never tempt you to break you. That's what James said, all right? This morning, the man from Atlanta, what's the name, Russ? Pastor Stanley. He had a good sermon early in the morning on James. He said that God will not tempt you to break you. God is not tricking you, you know? All right. Well, you mark that verse. It's very important. Now, along these lines, then, we will look to the scripture in Psalm 119. And I'm going to look whatever verses are available for the time that we have. And I'm going to look two things so that you can look on it. Number one, the cause of discouragement. And number two, the cure of discouragement. All right? So I'm going to bring you to the wall and then get out of the wall. All right? And you don't have to pay me anything. You go to a psychologist for this, it's $250 a session. But no money here. Now, if you are listening to me on internet or radio, want to send the $250, that's okay. But not for you who are here, all right? Number one, symptom number one, verse 81. My soul fainteth. Psalm 119, verse 81, page 380. My soul fainteth. The word, extreme verb used over there is wear out. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, for getting out of this trouble. But I hope in thy word. I said that the verb used over there is a very high qualified. The verbs in Hebrew are different than in any other language. They are past, or the action has been completed or incompleted. And the action can be hyper, middle, or low. That's entirely different. And when you understand it, it's so beautiful, so simple. And so here, the translation should be, my soul wears out. And so what is the cause of discouragement? Wear yourself out. And that means failure to accomplish what you want to do. You say, really? That's bad for a Christian. No. That happened to all. Really? Yes. And that happened to a great guy in the Bible. I want to show it to you. I mean, a mighty man. A man who went and confronted King Ahab. King Ahab, you know, he was worse than all the Talibans and the Iraqis together. His wife was worse, Jezebel. But King Ahab was bad and married a bad woman. Can you imagine? And a tiny little guy by the name Elijah confronted him and killed 400 of his prophets. Well, let's look on it. What happened after that? 1 Kings chapter 19, page 236. 1 Kings chapter 19. You wear yourself out. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8 so you see what it means to wear yourself out. Okay? And Ahab is defeated. Chapter 18 tells us that Ahab is defeated. Elijah confronts the king. He called fire from heaven, consumed the altar, consumed the prophet. Job done. And if I was Elijah, I said, give me the Cadillac and I go. But no, look at this. Ahab went home and told Jezebel all that Elijah has done, and withal how he has slain all the prophets with a sword. I'm sure King Ahab went home and he sat down and his sofa and said, darling, and she came in and said, do you want a coffee, darling? No coffee. You know what happened? He started crying like crazy. I can see the picture on it. Remember that he married a tough woman. Look at verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. She picked up the phone and said, Elijah, are you there? So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. Elijah, tomorrow I hang you up. It's the women calling. In the Hebrew, in America, women are more powerful than a man, but in the Hebrew, women, nothing can do. Elijah knows that. He's part of the culture. Look at what happened. And when he, verse 3, saw that or hear that, he arose and went for his life. I can't believe this. And came to Beersheba. Do you know the map? Beersheba, the last city before the Sinai Peninsula. Boy, he must run. He beats everybody in 24 fitness. Which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. He said, you stay here. But he himself went a day journey into the wilderness. That's the Sinai Peninsula. And came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Lord, I have it. And see, I want to die. How many Christians have said that? When you wear out of your energies, of your mind, of your hope. We say this in psychology. When you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, boy, you see death. And that's Elijah. And as he lay in sleep under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. See, Elijah did not need counsel. He was weak. When I preach, I need to eat right away because I lost strength. And Elijah had been standing for days before King Ahab and before these people and confronted by an army. And he's there and he was victorious, but he's weak. He forgot to eat. And so God, who is the best doctor, came and said, come on, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon, a pancake, on the coals, and a glass of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He eat, and he said, oh, man, that was good. And he fell asleep. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat again. You need more vitamins because the journey is too great for thee. You know, you are too tired, fellow. You eat more. Boy, that... all those who go to Weight Watchers that killed them. Verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And was there that God talked to him and explained to him that now he's going to be a master prophet teaching other prophets. And that whole seminary is start. He was the first professor of the seminary. So you can wear yourself out. Yes, indeed. That's symptom number one. Now, what is the cure? Do what is necessary to strengthen your body, your mind, of your soul. Will you move your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, page 697. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, page 697. You don't need to look in any book of medicine to find out what are you made of. Here is what the Bible tells you. Paul is praying, and he is saying, and again, I retranslate this. He's saying this, now may the God of peace make you perfect and holy, and I may your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many parts has the body? Three. Your spirit, your soul, which is the very being of an individual, and your body. You remember Genesis 2:7, that God breathed in the nostrils of that mummy, and that mummy became a living soul. That's your personality and everything on it. And so here's what it is. When you are depressed, the first thing you need to check is, are you wear out? If you are wear out, where? In your body, you need some strength. In your mind, you need some reading, a special reading to cheer you up. Or in the very being of yours, you need to talk to somebody and relax. Symptom number one, you can wear yourself out when you don't take care of yourself. If you don't take the proper medicine, you know, there are a lot of people who need medicine, mental medicine sometimes. And you don't take it and you faint. And the proper thing to do is to take your medicine if God, the doctor has given you medicine. Don't escape meals. You need your meals. Life is tough. And you need to face circumstances. Get a friend that you can talk to. And say, now look, sit down there. This will happen to me. Get a positive friend, though. No, a negative that puts you down. Verse 81. My soul fainted. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul fainted. Now let's take verse 2, verse 82. Second symptom. Look at verse 82. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Now, what is the cause of discouragement? Delay, failure to discern God's timing. My eyes are worn. I'm waiting. Is something wrong that I'm doing? I'm waiting and waiting. And what does the scripture say to me? But there, you don't know, in 35 years of radio in church, the amount of people, the things that I have learned that could happen to good Christians because they know the scripture, but they want to put time to the scripture. I even had girls at 37 years old come to my desk and said, Pastor, yes, when am I going to get married? Well, I don't know. Well, how do I know? No, with me, I'm married already. She said, no, but I'm 37 years old. What do you want me to do? Get the phone and pick up, call somebody, see if we can marry you. See, we get desperate. This is reality. The psalm is reality. And you look in the scripture and you know what God said, but time kills us. In America, we have instant coffee, instant soup, which I don't like it, instant tea, you know. All these things instant are no good, but we want it. And we think a life is instant solution, and doesn't. So what is the cause? The cause is failure to discern God's timing. Well, what is the cure? You know, the disciples were the same thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Page 639, Acts chapter 1, page 639. I want to read verse 6 and verse 7. See, therefore, when they have come together, this is after the resurrection, Dr. Luke explained to us, they ask him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? We want to know when these prophecies come to be. They know the prophecies. Now they want to put time to the prophecies. Why you get so hot about it? You're going to get wrong answers. But that's the way we are. We worry ourselves. And look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And he is Jesus, said unto them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Listen, fellow, you have nothing to do with dates according to God. Period. Forget it. Read the promise, believe it, and wait. You know, there is a psalm, that's what I love the book of Psalms, said, wait upon the Lord. Wait. You are not waiting upon somebody's promise. You are waiting upon God's promise. All right? So girls in this church, girls, don't come up with guys that I will look on and say, this was not. So wait upon the Lord, that the Lord send you one. All right? You understand? I'm a grandpa now. You wait when I was a father. Mamma mia. All right. Turn your Bible to Matthew 6:34. Look at the counsel of Jesus. Again, Matthew 6:34. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Why, Lord? For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Matthew 6:34. Sufficient for the day is its own what? Trouble. Woo! You got it? Sufficient. Don't add too many days ahead, because each day is a day of trouble. And if you are thinking 7 days ahead, you are thinking 7 days of troubles in your head. No wonder we cannot solve it. The cause of trouble is failure to discern God's timing. The solution is don't time God, don't time yourself. Know what God said and believe. Never forgot, in one of my gorgeous experiences as a pastor, a man in the Lord's Supper, you know, at the end of the year, I follow the tradition from the first day I was a pastor. At the end of the year, we meet together on New Year's Eve here, and that church, we don't have a building yet in that church, and we meet in the home of one of the elders, and we were taking the Lord's Supper, waiting for the new year, and one man stood up and said, I believe. And I said, yes, sir. You believe today? Yes, but my wife waited 38 years for this. I found the Lord in Jerusalem. I thought it was a little cook, but no. His wife, he had one thing good. He let his wife read the Bible for him every day. And he thought I'm going to laugh about the Bible, not knowing that the Bible is a living seed. Took 38 years to come up. To come up. She said, I feel so sorry. He started crying. It was the best New Year Eve I ever remember. He said, I feel so sorry what I have done to these women. And they were in their 70s, you know. Well, 70 is not too bad, eh? I'm getting there closer next year. You know what I mean? The man was really, the lady was shocked. He never told her. And now he, in a casual way, we were talking about the Lord's Supper, had nothing to do with salvation, but God said, now this seed is going to come up. So he came up and said, I'm saved. Is not fantastic? Don't time the Lord. Don't time the Lord. Just be faithful. Don't time the Lord. One more. Symptom number 3, verse 84, 86, and 87. And the symptom is people. Failure to realize your own nature. Look at what he says, the author of the psalm. How many, I'm back in Psalm 119, verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When will thou execute judgment on those who persecute me? You know, he now is worried about people. He said, you know, there are some people who are very bad. Why don't you take care of them, oh God? Verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful, or show consistency. They persecute me wrongfully or with dishonest mind. Help me, or please, oh God, do something for me. Now look in verse 87. They had almost made an end of me. The King James used the word consume, made an end of me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. In other words, Lord, look, I have some people I cannot see. These people made my life miserable, oh God, and they want, you know, people can make your life miserable. That's what I said, and when I speak in seminaries, if you want to be a pastor, you have to like people, regardless who they are. Just like them. The cause of this discouragement is people. You know, what the author is failing to see is himself. You know, as soon as we see somebody else and you get closer to somebody else, you see their faults. Is that right? You see their faults. But watch, don't speak about their faults. Look yours. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5. Matthew chapter 7, page 564. Matthew chapter 7, page 564. People can cause discouragement. He sees people against him. And look at what the Lord said. Why do you observe the splendor in your brother's eye and never notice the great log in your own? That's Jesus speaking in verse 3. Look at verse 4. And how dare you say to your brother, let me take thy splendor out of your eye, when look, there is a great log in your own. Verse 5, hypocrites, take the log out of your own eye first, and then you will see clearly enough to take the splendor out of your brother's eyes. And you know what that means? I mean, you have a lifetime job in cleaning your life, so you never worry about your brother's life. In other words, do not judge people, will you? Each time you see something clearly you think wrong in somebody else, don't say a word, just take a look on you. You said, well, this is wrong in that person. I wonder what's wrong in me. That will cure your discouragement, your disappointment. That will save a lot of divorce. A lot of divorce will be avoided. If rather than saying, oh, you don't cook the enchilada right, you look to yourself. You know that? I have people in my radio ministry and counseling coming in for divorce for most stupid things in life. I have seen men who are crazy. I have seen women who are crazy. I have seen a man telling me, my wife has spanked me every day. And I look at him, he was short, his wife said, I have to see your wife. It was a big giant. I said, if I were you, I never married something like that. I have seen all kinds of things. And the reason is, as soon as you start telling the other person, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, you are not looking to yourself. You are speaking about somebody else. Just look to yourself. Like Jesus is saying, hypocrite, take the log out of your own first. How to master discouragement. If you wear yourself out, get what you need. Maybe you need a good doctor to help some weakness in your brain and your nervous system, or you need food. If you cannot discern God's word because you want to put timing to God's promise, please don't do that. People go crazy and nuts in trying to put timing to God's promise. Don't do that. You destroy yourself and you destroy those around you. And then, if you are discouraged because of people, just stop people, put a mirror in front of you, and look to yourself and say, what's wrong with me? And you will see it. Now, the $4 million question. The text that will handle the entire passage is found in Matthew 26. 39, page 580. After preparing the sermon, after writing the conclusion, I put it away and I say to myself, how did Jesus handle discouragement? That will be our example. How did Jesus handle discouragement? Now, before I read the verse in Matthew chapter 26, 39, let me tell you a briefing about Jesus. He's born, nobody cares. He's born and you know, in a stable, no room in the inn. You know that. Then he grew up, with his brothers and sisters, and nobody understand him. They say, well, where is he? Said the father. We lost him, remember? Nobody cares about him. He's the Son of God. And then he goes and preaches in the synagogue. He said, who is this guy? He's the son of a carpenter. He get 12 disciples. They go to sleep when he go to prayer. I tell you, people say, yeah, you are great. And then they say, crucify him. I mean, he gave his life. He healed the sick. He resurrected the dead. He gave food to the hungry. And they hang him on the cross. Are you going to be discouraged, Jesus? Just for a split of a second he was. Let me show it to you. Verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass me by. Lord, if there's any chance to avoid the cross, do it. Just a split of a second to say that. Nevertheless, let it be as you, not as I, would have it. Lord, let this be your way and not my way. That's the key to cure discouragement. How to master discouragement? By accepting God's will for your life. By accepting God's will for your life. There was a man that came to see me. He was a gambler. I think like our brother Vitola told us many times that he was a gambler. And he came with his wife. And I have two beautiful chairs in my radio office. And I see them in there. And she said, you know, this man comes, and on Friday he goes to wherever they gamble. And then there were no casinos like here in the 70s. And he said, and they waste all his money. And then she stood up and said, tell us! And he said, yeah, I said, I have done this. She said, I'm so discouraged. So he raised the chair, and he's going to break the chair on his head. He said, don't do that. It cost me $80. She smiled. I said, what can I do? I said, who marry him? She said, I did, but I don't marry him. You marry him. You accepted him as he is. You accepted him as he is. And you pray together and let the Lord release that gambling habit from his heart. Get free from him. Just accept. You marry him. That's God's will for your life now. And you know, every year they send me, for 10 years, they send me a little card saying, thank you. Thank you. You know something? Accept God's will for your life. Some people are fat, some people are skinny, some people are short. I remember when I date Raquel. She don't want to marry me. I was a good-looking, tall guy. Playing soccer professional. Every Sunday I came back with my ball, you know, my big ball from the game, you know, signed by the people. So I look at these, and I stand like this, you know. And so she buy those heels, big heels. When we walk in the park, she walk on the high part, and I walk on the street so that we be more level. Until I found a verse in the Bible that says what? You cannot add one yacht to your stature. So I wrote it back, put it in a big car. Send it to her. She don't say anything. I call her mother and said, you have to find the car and read it with her. Her mother was a great, fantastic girl. And finally she said, no, you are too tall. I don't accept it. So I went to her mother and said, you need to talk about me, how great I am. This and that. All the time. I want to marry you. She said, you know, I have nice mustaches, you know. And, come on. She said, you know, Gabriel, I like you. If I young, I marry you. But I don't have to marry you. It's my daughter. So you talk to her. I want to put time into my dating so I can get married. Took me 7 years to convince Raquel I'm your man. Now she cannot get rid of me. But I tell you. If you are discouraged, I understand it. I don't make a laugh about it. I don't take it lightly. But I want to tell you this. Accept God's will in your life, and you will be successful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the wonders of your word. Thank you, Father, that you deal with us better than anybody else. You show to us what reality really is. And you show to us your faithfulness through your word. The writer of the psalm said, I have kept your word. I have followed your precepts. And sometimes in discouragement, Father, we have to confess to you, the last thing we do is looking in the scripture. So, Father, I pray that you will give us a desire to be strong in the word, to accept each other as we are, to love each other as we are, and to witness about the mighty God who healed our life and forgive our sins through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Stand, please, for the benediction, and I'd like to invite you, if you're a guest, I invite you after a few moments, we're going to start our fellowship luncheon the last Sunday every month, and if you're a guest, please, you can stay with us and enjoy. There's plenty of food in the back for all of us. Let's pray together. Now unto him that is able to keep you from failing and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.